Welcome back. You're with Public Address Radio on Radio Live, and we've got Di Henwood with us. Di, it's the week after the Music Awards, and no one seems to have a bad word to say about you. Are you chuffed about how it went?
I know. Well, I'm quite chuffed, as I started off the day of the Music Awards getting the worst review I've ever had in my entire life on the back of the Herald, where I got a very well-written slamming. And then the Music Awards happened, and everyone seemed to be back on side. And I had such a great time there. It's that thing of, I think I had the lucky point of, unfortunately, Ollie Driver had done quite a few, and having a fresh face, I think people were up for it. And
yeah,
I put a lot of effort into a dance at the beginning.
I was going to say, whose idea was that dance? Because I think that really got people on side.
Oh, that was my... my scheming, because I've always, that's been the key part of my stand-up, has always been a bit of flopping out an interpretive dance, and thought New Zealand musicals, just get a bit of a New Zealand music medley and kick it off. Usually it's just a band or something, but wanted to go for that Billy Crystal style opening, but I can't sing.
But that was real cheerleader styles. I mean, you've never trained in any dance or anything, because you kept up.
No, but I spent quite a bit of time over at their gym, and there was a few
parts. What a blow for you.
Oh, I even had to video them so I could memorise the dance. But it was good fun, and they helped me along, and I hopefully will get a chance to work with them again.
Hmm. Was that a big step up for you doing that Music Awards gig, or was it you just doing what you do?
It was sort of me just doing what I do, but it was definitely the highest profile sort of emceeing gig, and... it's not every day you walk out sort of in front of just shy of 3,000 people. And it always makes it harder being an industry gig as well, because if it was just general punters, it'd be really easy. But I was very nervous and so happy to pull it off, because it's been a long time in the making.
Yeah, and I actually thought one thing I thought on the night was that you kind of made your name with a persona, with P-Funk Chainsaw.
Yeah.
And... yeah, this was very much about you projecting your own personality, which I think was what people liked.
Yeah, that's something that I've always done, character comedy, and I found it hard to sort of come out of my shell as myself. And I think after sort of that thing of being on TV helps you a bit, and then I just have got more and more comfortable doing straight stand-up and now emceeing, so we'll see where it goes now.
Yeah, well, actually talking about being on TV, as you said, that same day, really bad review. Puerile and adolescent. I mean, what's your response to that? Because you like your grubby humour a bit, don't you?
Yeah, well, the irony is that she pretty much read out the brief of the show I was given to make. So. I mean, because that's really, I mean, it is quite grubby, and it's not the only string to my bow, but that was, we did set out to make a show for that demographic. It wasn't just a travel show around New Zealand to put in mainstream. It was sort of a follow-up to Insert Video Here, which we'd done, which is pretty edgy and pushing the boundaries. And I think it was just an example of the wrong person writing the review. She was very outside of any sort of demographic. And I give her credit, because I've got it framed, because she can't have watched that show once. She knew it better than I did. She had more quotes than I did. And she put a lot of effort into slamming me as well.
But you're not daunted by it.
No, I mean, I come from a family where my dad's been an actor since I was born. And if you lived and died by your reviews, you'd be shocking. I mean, he sort of doesn't read them, although I don't think my dad's ever been called puerile.
Well, you know, on the TV, you're sort of everywhere. In fact, you're absolutely owning Wednesday nights at the moment on TV.
I know. I can't freak my girlfriend out. First time I've ever been on a bus. She saw my big ugly mug on a bus and promoting Wednesday nights. It's kick off with Pop Goes the Weasel. Then there's a weird break where Hulk Hogan goes hard out. And then there's me travelling around with Roll the Die. So I quite like the idea of not being on TV for a couple of months, then just being full noise for 12 weeks, then just disappearing off.
Well, about that back of the bus thing, I mean, I think John Campbell once said that he just pretends it's someone else. So, I mean, what do you do when you see yourself on the back of a bus?
I was walking along, saw a billboard, and was walking along, and I went, who's that, dude? Oh, it's me! Because you're not used to seeing it. I haven't got cheeky enough to get a photo of me in front of it yet.
Right.
Which, I once busted Petra Baggers taking a photo of herself outside a dairy on a listener. Cover of a listener.
So, I mean, what's the effect of that? Because, you know, as soon as you get on TV, and especially as much as you've been, suddenly you start getting recognised and people come up to you in public. And, you know, do you feel like you have to dress better when you go to the supermarket and that sort of thing?
I know it is that weird thing of, you know, I try and figure out whether I'm just a bit egotistical or whether people are looking at me. It's that weird thing. I think actually I don't notice it that much, but my partner, she notices it. She goes, they're talking about you. They're looking at you. But mostly I'm glad most of it's all positive. I haven't had someone bail me up and give me a version of the review I had in person.
Well, that's a mercy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you're doing all these other things now. Do you still consider yourself a stand-up comic?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, gigs sort of get a bit fewer and far between. And I've always wanted to make telly, funny telly, and I think next year's we're really going to make some inroads. But stand-up is a love of mine, and whenever I travel, I try and do a gig wherever I go to. And it keeps you honest as a comedian as well, because you actually find out what is funny.
Yeah, is it a bit like having been a DJ or something? You kind of you get a better feel for what works and how crowds respond.
Yeah, I think that's a key there is I can trust myself a bit more when we're editing stuff, going, I know that'll be funny. Because you get a feel. I mean, of course, sometimes there's always that one joke you think's hilarious and it doesn't work at all. But you do get a feel for it. And I think, you've done it 10 years, and don't think I'll sort of stop doing it. It's something you can always, as long as you keep writing material, you can always get up and do it.
Now, as you said, your dad Ray has been an actor for years and years. Have you got any kind of ideas about stepping into a screen or stage role, actually acting rather than?
Yeah, it's interesting because we take in New Zealand, comedians are comedians. In America, comedians are classed as actors, like most. Any comedy movie or anything would have an actual stand-up comedian in it. And we've never been trusted over here. And I mean, I did drama and Eastern religions at university. It was my diverse BA. But I've done my fair share of acting. And to be honest, it just doesn't rock my boat as much as comedy does. And I naturally tend to go for the laugh. But I'm sure as I sort of mature, I'm definitely going to get into the acting side a bit more.
Right, and I suppose the other thing is that someone like Flight of the Conchords have shown that you can also be writers. Yeah, you can go from stand-up comedy to actually writing for the screen.
Yeah, and I mean, they've done just the wonderful thing of showing New Zealanders it's very funny and very good, and people say, well, I mean, I people go, oh, you should have made that in New Zealand and so forth. You couldn't have made that show in New Zealand, and it had to be shot in New York to work. If it was just them within New Zealand, it'd be a bit weird. But yeah, I mean, you have to be multi-talented. I like sort of write and perform, and you can't earn a buck doing one thing in this country.
No, you can't. In a way, that's kind of the beauty of it, isn't it? You have to be a generalist. You can't just do one thing.
Yeah, no, you just have to diversify, and that's what makes it more interesting as well. You're not just pigeonholed.
Now, I have to say, on the night at the Music Awards, you made a couple of jokes about the drugs.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what I thought of? I thought of this book I've got.
Oh!
A Turned On World, Drug Use in New Zealand by C.R. Henwood.
That's my...
Are you familiar with this through
yes.
your childhood?
I was always intrigued by that because that's one of the only unbiased books about drugs, because Dad actually brought the breathalyzer into New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he introduced the breathalyzer because he's a forensic toxicologist for the DSIR. And he wrote that book, A Turned On World, which was just legitimately toured around all the opium dens, because in Wellington there was a lot of opium and so forth. And it's purely just a book on the exact effect, because that was back in the day of you smoke a joint and go and stab your parents, you know?
Yeah, no, this is quite a sensible book, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know...
Yeah, oh my God,
there's a middle ground, surely. So did he give
I got
it
a
to
lot
you
of,
when you were 16 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I got a lot of cred with the guys at school when they come around and saw the psychedelic Paisley cover of that book.
Well, I think we'd probably best move on, but hey, thanks, Di. It's been really good fun.
Cheers.
You'd better get off to your next appointment.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. After the break, back to Sydney.